away.
Broadcasting the timeless word of God.
No matter what time it is.
The Way.
101.1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between. For a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes.
Hezbollah thinks that Gaza is getting too much attention, so they're generating their own headlines. Could Russia, China, and Iran become the new axis of evil? The current U.S. administration is doing everything they can to hurt Israel while helping her enemies. And we'll also look at some people who have a firefighter mentality and how we can be encouraged to do the same. Those are just some of the stories we'll investigate in this edition of Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies and the world's news for Friday, March 15th, 2024. You can always get Signs of the Times on your time. You can listen or watch previous episodes, a variety of ways to subscribe to our podcast, or just keep everything close to the vest when you use the Way Media app. That's where you can read the articles we talk about and where you can send Pastor Mark a prophecy question. If you don't use the app, that's okay too. You can always go to thewaymedia.net and do the same right from your browser. And now, here to remind us that common sense without education is better than education without common sense is Pastor Mark, who forgot to go to the gym today, and that's 5 years in a row now. So.
No, that's not bad. That's right. It's just, okay. Yeah. That's, I can see that.
You can see that.
Although you can tell by looking at me.
But no. That's not entirely true.
I know.
I think maybe you go through spurts.
I do go to the gym.
That's right.
But that's funny, though, because I like that.
It can be true.
Yes.
For all of us. Okay. Before we get into articles, there is something close to home that's happening. And while your encouragement is going to be for those here in the Knoxville area, this is also a warning to a city where you might be living.
That's right. You know, ever since this Israeli thing has happened, Greg, with Gaza and Israel, there's been this push now to attack Israel and to come against them from all angles. And there's been really a PR push. I think it seems to be organized. Some of it has come out of Washington. Some of it comes from other areas. But it is definitely organized. And it's really an attempt to get everybody to kind of turn on Israel and even officially do it. And there's been a real push even by cities and city councils to do this, and not really necessarily all of the city council members. There's usually one member on there or somebody that pushes it and brings it up for a vote or an agenda or whatever. You know, a friendly voice to the enemy, so to speak, that gets used. But that's happening. It happened a few weeks ago where there was a resolution that came before the Knoxville City County meeting, and they were trying to condemn Israel for the war in Gaza. And it was amazing to me is people forget why the war in Gaza is taking place. Remember, Israel was minding their own business. They were brutally attacked. They didn't start it, but they're going to finish it. They came in and killed some 1,300 Israelis over a series of hours, brutally raping. Most people know the details of what happened. Israel now, in self-defense, is going after that organization, Hamas, in order to remove them so that can never happen again. I commend them for that. They're doing the right thing. But because you know, there are those that try to link all of them together. They say, you know, basically they're accusing them of genocide because they're going to get the bad guys. Now, whenever you have war, there's going to be casualties, and sometimes it's going to be women and children. And that's just been historical. That happened in every war that's ever happened. But if there's anybody that's ever taken more caution not to do that, it's the nation of Israel. I mean, how many wars do they drop leaflets? I know it's happened. But how many wars do they drop leaflets on an area before they bomb on every time they do it? I mean, over and over and over. There have been limited times that you can read in history that happened. Israel does it every time. We're going to be bombing. We're coming in. Get the innocent civilians out of the way. You couldn't take more caution than that. And the reality is, you know, bombs can't discriminate bad guys and good guys. And if the good guys don't get out of the way when they're warned, and even if something happens where you're not warned, like in all wars in the past, there's going to be casualties. And sometimes it's going to be men and women. Well, anyway, that was defeated. It came up in Knoxville City Council, but it was happening in other councils around the nation, which showed me this is an organized effort. Well, now we have round two. And I want our listeners to know this, especially our local listeners. If you want to stand with Israel, what a great opportunity for you to stand with the nation of Israel. This Tuesday, and I believe it starts at 5:30 is when the start is of the city county meeting, somebody else is bringing a resolution trying to condemn Israel for genocide in what's happening in Gaza. It is the most absurd accusation, I mean, I can even imagine. And here's the absurdity of it. Israel has gone to such great lengths to spare the innocent, but the reality is war. People are going to be hurt. Hamas has put out fake numbers and lies. Hamas is claiming something like 70% of the casualties. First of all, the numbers they're giving are off the charts. And according to statisticians, if you draw a chart, it's a perfectly drawn chart of the deaths, which means somebody just drew it out and then put it out to the, there's no variation, which means it obviously was planned and just released to the media, which they grab and run with. But in addition to that, they're trying to claim that of this high number they're claiming have been killed in this particular incursion, they're saying 70% of them are women and children. Well, statistically, that's impossible, especially if you're targeting the army and fighting the men. It's statistically impossible, but again, it creates sympathy. It creates emotion. And so with this stirred emotion and the sympathy that they're trying to create, you've got all these things going back to these councils again here in the U.S. I don't know all of them that it's going to. I know it happened in North Carolina. It actually passed in North Carolina. It's now going to be here at Knoxville's on Tuesday. And again, it's just totally absurd. I guess the thing, Greg, that frustrates me the most about it, it's not just statistically and facts-wise absurd. It's never been what Israel's done. The statistics show that there's a lot of propaganda and manipulation going on. There's the reality of war. There's the reality of self-defense, which, again, they have the right to do to take care of these guys that are bringing this damage on them. But the crazy thing to me is the very thing they're accusing Israel of is what Hamas is doing to Israel. Hamas is, they're trying to bring genocide to the nation of Israel. And how do I know that? Well, I mean, I've been studying the Middle East for a long, long time, over 30 years now. Been to Israel some 15 times. I'm very well aware of what's going on in that region. I mean, not like somebody who lives there, and I get that. But the bottom line is, I know what they're saying is not true. But what they are saying is this, from the river to the sea.
Mm.
And they're even having the chants here, which most of the people here that chant that have no idea what that's even talking about. That's right. They don't know what it's even talking about. But from the river to the sea means genocide. It means exterminate the Jews from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean. Now, some might say, no, that just means kick them out. Well, you may hear some say that, but you hear a lot of others say, no, exterminate them, annihilate them from the river to the sea. That's what it means to the Jew, and that's what it means to many people who know what they're talking about that are making that chant. So it's actually Hamas that is threatening genocide, and they even said, we want to continue to do October 7th over and over and over until Israel's destroyed. They've come out and said that. So the very ones that are trying to commit a genocide to Israel are now trying to get resolutions passed in the cities of America that somehow Israel's doing genocide to Hamas. It's nonsense. Now, as far as Hamas goes, they do want radical Hamas annihilated. I don't deny that. But radical Hamas, these guys need to be annihilated. They're evil. And so here's my point again. There's kind of the story about what's going on. I just wanted to say to our listeners that are here in Knoxville, show up Tuesday night. This is your opportunity to stand for the nation of Israel, and not just for the nation of Israel, but really to stand for God. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, when he comes back, he's going to separate the believer from the unbeliever. And he said, for those who stood with his brethren, and it's taken from the Old Testament where he said this. There's another passage that he's drawing that from the Old Testament, and it's talking in context about the Jewish people. It's not talking about believers in general. It's talking about the Jewish people. And so what Jesus is saying is those who pay special care for the Jewish people, whether they're good or bad, He didn't qualify. He didn't say only the good ones and bad ones. If you take care of them, there's a special reward for you. Now, the Jews that do bad, like the Gentiles that do bad, we will give account to God. So that's a given. I'm not saying that. Doesn't mean that God just gives carte blanche to anybody to do whatever they want because they're Jewish or Gentile or whatever else. I'm saying God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. There's no qualifier. You stand with them. This is a rare opportunity. And I want to encourage, our listeners, if you want extra reward in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to share this with the body on the weekend here, on our Saturday and Sunday service, I'm going to share this because here's the bottom line. As a spiritual broker, as someone helping you invest in your eternal reward, this is a rare moment in world history for you to get extra reward by standing with God and the Jewish people. And what do I mean by that? It happened in Egypt when he brought them out of Egypt. Those who stood with them and left, I think there's going to be special reward for those who got saved and converted. We saw it happen with, next weekend is Purim. And we saw it happen with Haman. Yeah.
Haman,
It's very close. Yeah. Haman and Esther. We saw it happen there where God said, you stand with the Jews. And we saw God defend them because the enemies were trying to wipe the Jews out, trying to bring a genocide to the Jews. We saw it happen in World War II with Hitler, where he tried to bring a genocide to the Jews. God is a special reward for those who stood with the Jews in that day. And Greg, here we are again. We are standing again. There's going to be another one in the Great Tribulation where this opportunity will be afforded you to make great financial gains eternally, spiritually, if you will. But that's going to be the Great Tribulation. Hopefully you won't be here. That's only going to be for those who get saved after the rapture. But for those of us who are saved and going to go in the rapture, this is a rare moment historically to do two things. Number one, stand with the nation of Israel. And number two, receive extra eternal reward for doing so. So it's almost kind of like you've got an insight on the stock market. You know that tomorrow, for example, everything's going to bottom out, and then the next day it's going to go skyrocketing. If you knew that, then you could go sell all your stocks right now, let it bottom out, take that money, buy as much as you can of all this worthless stock at the bottom. The next day it goes back up to even enormous more worth, and you suddenly become a millionaire/billionaire overnight. You right now, as a believer in Knoxville, have an opportunity to become a millionaire or billionaire for Christ by making a stand for the nation of Israel and the Jews, not because they're righteous, not because they're holy, but because God said to, and they're future believers, as we see, he says he's going to pour his spirit out in the last days on them and make that investment. I'm making the investment. I'm going to be there. I signed up to speak, and I'm making the investment. But what I'm saying is, even being there to support them, you're saying we stand with the nation of Israel, and God sees that, and you're making, it's not just the right side of history you're standing on, it's the right side of eternity that you're standing on.
Yeah.
And there's going to be great eternal reward. Invest. It's time to invest. This moment's going to, it's not going to last forever. Dial that number, 1-800, serve God, 1-800, serve God and get extra reward in heaven. But that's truly, that's what's going on. It kind of reminds me of, remember when the city, and I forget who the king was at the time, but there was a siege on the city and the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, and the Assyrians had them, I believe it was the Assyrians, somebody had them surrounded. It's not with Sennacherib and all that, but they had them surrounded. And there were these lepers that were locked outside of the gate and because they couldn't go in because they're lepers. So they're out there going, okay, here we sit. We're all starving to death. They were starving everybody out. They said, we're starving to death. The enemy's over the hill right there. And so what do we have to lose? Let's go over the hill. Let's see if they'll give us some food. If they kill us, great. I mean, let's get us out of our misery. We have leprosy and we're starving. If they kill us, it's not so bad, guys. So let's go over there and just kind of see if they'll give us food and whatever. They go over the hill and guess what? God scared off the enemy. He put fear in their heart and they all ran. Nobody knew it. So they see all these empty tents with all their stuff. It's like seeing an army with all the tanks still there, all the guns, all the food, everything's there. And they start going into the tents and they're like, all this food. And they're eating food like crazy. This is amazing, amazing. They're hoarding and getting all this money, food, things, whatever. And one of them goes, guys, yeah, what is it? Look, they're all in there starving right now. And we're out here feasting on something that God has shown us. If we don't go back and tell them and we just take this all for ourselves, we're going to pay for this one day. God, we're going to be judged by God. And they all agreed. They went back and told the king. And so they all went out and found everything. I really feel like that right now we have an opportunity like those lepers. God is showing us here is the reward that's there for you if you'll simply go and get it and stand with the nation of Israel at this moment. The world's going to shun you. The world's going to yell at you. The world's going to mock you. But you stand with Israel. And if you do that, You're going to get all of that reward from those, from the tents and all, everything's going to be there. It's going to be for you. And I personally want to get it. And I want you to get it as well. So it's an opportunity this Tuesday, 5:30, City County Building on the Main Street, to come and make your voice known and your body seen to stand with the nation of Israel against this nonsense. Oh. That was what I wanted to share.
Fantastic. All right. Speaking of Israel, not to be outdone, Hezbollah fires over 60 rockets at Israel. This according to All Israel News dated March 10th. The IDF is holding drills to prepare for the approaching Lebanon war.
Yes.
This is not a surprise.
It's not, which, Greg, may start today.
Oh, okay.
This is when the day it was supposed to start. They gave a warning to Hezbollah. I forget when they gave it, but they gave Hezbollah till March 15th today to stop firing rockets into northern Israel, or they were going to attack northern Israel and attack Hezbollah. Now, something may have changed. I haven't heard any major announcement coming out of Israel. If they hold to what they said they were going to do, then you're going to see Israel begin the attacks sometime within the... Well, I mean, they're ahead of us. So anytime we could see attacks there escalating and the war getting stronger and stronger in the north. And if that happens, again, we'll see. If not, it will happen. They're going to do it. The question is, when's it going to happen? And I'll tell you, if it happens before this Tuesday and what we just talked about, there's going to be even more fervor and opposition against Israel and even more of an opportunity for us to stand with Israel. So we'll see if that begins today or not. But I want to read just a small portion of it. It says the Lebanese terror group Hezbollah fired over 60 rockets at northern Israel on Sunday, while Israel Defense Forces announced it held a large logistics drill in preparation for a full-scale confrontation with the terror group, which seems to get ever closer. So it's coming. I've been told from my sources in Israel and what I'm hearing, it's not a matter of if they're going to attack Hezbollah in the north, it's a matter of when. And when they do go in, I think it's going to be, we talked about this in the past, kind of a shock and awe type approach, because there's a lot of rockets there, precision rockets, a lot of damage can be done by Hezbollah before you take them out. I expect Israel to go in and just scrape that whole upper region and just annihilate it to stop the enemy. And by the way, look at this. Here it happens again, Greg. Israel has told Hezbollah what they're going to do and about how far back they're going to go. That this is an area. They've warned them, get your innocent civilians. That if you know that, get them out of there. Have them leave. Have them go back. Again, how many armies warn the enemy, I'm going to attack on this day? Now, it may not be today, but they should be ready by today for the attack. And if they're not ready by today for the attack and civilians die, it's their fault. It's not Israel's fault. They need to get their citizens out of there so Israel can take care of business.
Did you mention it at the very beginning of what you were talking about, that if Israel really wanted genocide?
I didn't, but I'm going to say that Tuesday. But yeah, you're right. If they wanted genocide, this would have been over October 8th. It would have been. They have the power. If they really just were this, if they're evil and they wanted just to indiscriminately kill everybody, citizens, innocent, whatever, they could have just annihilated Gaza in one day, either with a series of a few bombs, one larger bomb. I mean, it would have been done over, okay? So the fact they didn't do that tells me they're not wanting genocide. As a matter of fact, Greg, Israel has been helping and supplying the people, the Palestinians in Gaza for years and years and years. Now, the truth of the matter is, yes, there's been a lot of tension there. There has been. Because you've got this whole brother-brother fighting. You got the Ishmael and Isaac fighting each other and different religions fighting. I get all that. But they've still been supplying for them. Listen, it would be like...
giving them work visas so they can come in and make money to feed their families.
Yes. It would be like saying that if we went into North Korea as the U.S. military because of all the wicked is coming out of there and we start having limited battles in certain areas that we were trying to commit genocide. No. If we want a genocide of any nation, all we have to do is drop the bomb. Or drop larger bombs in scattered regions that aren't even nuclear, and it's over. See, the power's there. This is when you know what's really in someone's heart. How's the power being used? Israel is using the power for self-defense. If they were using it for genocide, we wouldn't be having a meeting in the city council on Tuesday because everything would be over. Yeah. It would be more about now what are the nations going to do with Israel because they went in and did this or whatever. Well, that's not what they're doing. And again, the proof that they didn't finish it on October 8th proves that that's not what their heart is.
Yeah. In Ezekiel 38 and 39 news, this comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated March 14th. Russia, China, and Iran deepen ties with a naval drill.
Yep. And again, this is it's interesting here. We know we see Iran and Russia always tied together looking toward Ezekiel 38 and 39. China's in the mix here. I don't really see China involved in the Iran-Russian war.
So we can't say it's a prophetic pool party.
No, but you see the same team members that don't like Israel gathering together. And of course, China, you know, China's going to, I think, show up during the Great Tribulation. There's going to be something there with China. But either way, it says they sent ships, Iran, Russia, and China, that gathered for a naval drill over the weekend. The drill continued this week and illustrates the growing cooperation between the countries, Russia, Iran, and China have conducted at least four naval drills in the past. However, this year's are larger, and they come amidst rising tensions in the Red Sea and off the coast of Yemen. Chinese and Russia state media both highlighted the drills. Iran says the drills cover some 17,000 square kilometers of ocean. Global Times in China reported that the naval forces of China, Iran, and Russia on Monday launched an exercise near the Gulf of Oman in a joint effort to safeguard regional maritime security without targeting any third country or current regional tensions. The ships began their drills off the port of Chatabahar, the report said. Now, again, I do believe there's probably some link to Ezekiel 38 and 39 as we see this alliance building all the more, but not necessarily with China. But again, what does it say in Matthew 24? In the last days, wars and rumors of war. So China's going to be involved in that mix. Yeah. And again, I still think we may see China make their move on Taiwan before the elections.
Yeah,
I do.
Do you think that China, well, no, China can't be one of the countries that goes into evade, according to Ezekiel. But that doesn't mean that China can't be providing supplies.
That's right. You're exactly right. And again, just because they're not mentioned doesn't mean they're not there. But as large as they are, I think God would have mentioned them. So, I think that may be a stretch on that. But I do believe you're going to see them. I think they may have some tie-in to, again, the Great Tribulation.
Are they mentioned at all in Scripture, Pastor Mark, anywhere?
Debatable, and I'll tell you why. Here's what scholars, we're not sure. It talks about the region of Sin, S-I-N, from the east, and not sin like we think of sin.
Right, yeah.
But that is historically speaking of the region where China is.
Ah.
So it talks about that region and those from the east coming in Revelation. They think, well, it may be talking about those from the east being China. And Greg, look, it stands to reason. Unless China gets wiped out sometime prior to the Great Tribulation, which I doubt's going to happen.
Doubt it, yeah.
I think China's going to be involved. So I think it probably is when it talks about those coming from the east where they drive the Babylon river and they come in. I think China's going to be included in that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, remains to be seen, but we won't be here when that happens.
We'll see it from the upper seats.
We'll see it from the upper seats,
that's right.
Yes.
That's
the
right.
Nosebleeds.
That's right.
Yes. Those are nosebleed seats that I will take.
That's right. Me too.
All right. Let's come back to America, where we go to Newsmax.com, dated March 13th. Just more outrageous talk here. Israeli official talks about the U.S. is pushing to oust Netanyahu.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the response here in this article from Israel. I know you're going to share it, but this is just, it's infuriating.
It is infuriating. And let me read some of the article that I want to comment on this, because we are shooting ourselves in the foot here in America. A senior official reacted to a U.S. intelligence report, which stated that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition is in danger of collapse as Israel faces increasing international pressure over the Gaza war. The report stated Netanyahu's viability as leader, as well as his governing coalition of the far right and ultra-Orthodox parties that pursued headline policies on Palestine and security issues, may be in jeopardy. Distrust of Netanyahu's ability to rule has deepened and broadened across the public from its already high levels before the war, and we expect large protests demanding his resignation and new elections. Now, that's their opinion. That's not at all accurate. I love what the statement, Greg. This must be what you're talking about. Here's the official answer. The Israeli official who spoke anonymously with the press answered and said that the U.S. should help Israel overthrow Hamas, not Israel's government. Wow. I think that's kind of like a slam dunk right there. And here's the bottom line. Look, again, you're hearing these things even now from Chuck Schumer. I think it was yesterday, came out and said that, that Netanyahu's first President Biden said it. Now Chuck Schumer came out on the floor of the Senate and said, Netanyahu is blocking peace deals, and he's blocking the efforts to stop the war in Israel. He's in the way. Get rid of him. Well, news break for Senator Schumer. Netanyahu is still extremely popular. There's more people that want him than don't there in Israel. The nation of Israel stands with him, and the nation of Israel agrees with him. You are wrong. And by the way, shame on him. It's amazing to me, Greg, when I watch these Jewish people attack their own nation and their own people. Look, I get it when the world does it. I get it. But when you've got a Chuck Schumer or somebody else, you know, that's attacking the nation of Israel, especially when I've mentioned it before, these guys with the last name Cohen that are in Congress and Senate, they are from the descending line of Aaron. They're the Kohanim. They're Levites. And so when you have these guys, they're attacking their own people. They're attacking their own nation. To me, that's the highest level of treason before God. It may not be treason on the earth, but before God, it's like the highest level of treason. You're attacking your own people. And so it just shows I don't think he's ignorant to it. I start to say it shows his ignorance. And I'm not name calling. This is not name calling. I'm respecting the governing authorities. Don't get me wrong. When that word, I mean, I can't believe that he doesn't know. Ignorance just means you don't know. I can't believe he doesn't know better of what he's saying. I believe he does know better. I believe he's just speaking in an evil sense and trying to say it's basically fighting against God. He doesn't know it, but he's fighting against God by fighting against the nation of Israel and the people of Israel. And so President Biden's doing it. Our other top leaders are doing it. And Greg, you know what that means. This is going to be something that dooms our nation if we don't repent of this. Again, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless Israel, I will curse those who curse Israel. And if we're standing against Israel and standing against their leadership, we're cursing Israel. So again, it'd be one thing if their leaders were evil. Now, they might claim they are, but they're not. They're doing the right thing. They're defending their nation. And so God didn't see it that way. So I fear for our nation because we're turning more and more against Israel, and it's going to turn more and more against us. But let me make one more comment for those listening out there who are questioning. There's a new group of Christians out there that are starting to pull their support or question their support for Israel, and they're claiming that God's done with the nation of Israel and that God's not supporting them. And Greg, I've even heard them say this, believe it or not, I'm even hearing now, they're saying, well, when it says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, that was only Abraham. That's nothing to do with the nation of Israel. Well, then what about when it goes on and says, and you will bless all the peoples of the earth? Abraham certainly did not go to every person on the earth and bless them. He didn't take pies to every house around the planet. It's talking about his descendancy. It's talking about the nation that would come from Abraham that God prophesies over and over after Genesis 12:3.
Isn't it written in the Hebrew that it isn't it written the language in perpetuity, though?
Well, no, it's not the historical. We talked about that last time. Remember, that's the historical.
I know the Greek part, but isn't there a Hebrew term that would be similar to that in how the language is written? Didn't apply to Abraham at that moment?
Well, you may be right. I would have to go back and look at the language. But, Greg, it does say that for sure in another way.
Okay.
It repeats it over and over by saying, from your descendants, I will bring the Messiah. I will bless. And then he passes it down to Isaac. He gives Isaac the blessing that God promised him in Genesis 12. And then Isaac gives Jacob the blessing that was promised to him. Yeah. And it passed down through the Jewish line, the 12 tribes of Israel coming out of Jacob. So it is literally, look, it says, I'll bless those who bless you. And it's ridiculous to say that's only referring to Abraham. That's just nonsense. But it very clearly by the rest of Scripture, which is where people often mess up, they read one or two verses and they stop. If you read the rest of Scripture, it's very clear that God is talking about the nation of Israel in that whole process, which means it is absolutely accurate to say when you read that, I will bless those who bless Israel, I'll curse those who curse Israel. I know I'm putting the word Israel in there. But God put it in there later. God shows us that's what he means. So to interpret it would simply say, that's what he's saying. If you bless Israel, I'll bless you. If you curse them, I'll curse you. So, and I want to hit this other thing we've talked about. Just because they're doing wrong doesn't mean we don't bless them. The Bible says that God shines his sun on the good, the sunshine on the good and the evil. He gives rain and food to the good and the evil. The point is, we are to stand with the nation of Israel regardless of what they do, because God said to, and then God will hold them accountable. If there's judgment that comes on Jew or Gentile, God will meet that out at the proper time. But we are simply are commanded by God as followers of God to stand with them, and it comes with a promise. If we bless Israel, God will bless us. If we curse Israel, God will curse us. And right now, our president and Senator Schumer and others, they're speaking cursings on our nation. Again, I'm not attacking those individuals. I want to be very careful to honor the position of the president and the position of a senator, and I will honor that position. But these men are speaking curses on our nation, and that's what it concerns me. It concerns me for my grandkids and my kids.
Well, here's more cursings. This is from Breitbart.com, dated March 14th. Biden slaps more sanctions on Israel while giving $10 billion in sanctions wavering to Iran.
Yeah, I had a buddy share with me that he had done this. I hadn't even seen it yet. I said, well, I hadn't seen that he put more sanctions on him. I'll do my study. in northern Israel, and now they're doing these greater waivers. And, Greg, what they're doing is they're attacking the weapons systems and their ability to fight, which, again, is our president and our government cursing us. They're standing against Israel and bringing curses on the nation of America. President Joe Biden's administration slapped more sanctions on Israelis over so-called extremist settler violence, otherwise called self-defense in most nations, on Thursday. I added that part.
Yes,
including
you did.
On two outposts in the West Bank, making the first sanctions on Israel relating to a specific area. The sanctions are a virtual gift to the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. At a time when Biden is trying to shore up flagging Arab Muslim American support, he's doing this because he wants the votes of Michigan. The news also came on the same day that the Biden administration sent senior White House officials to meet with Palestinian Americans in Chicago. The sanctions also came a day after the Biden administration renewed a sanctions waiver on Iran that would allow the regime to gain access to up to $10 billion in assets. The waivers aimed at encouraging diplomacy as Iran funds attacks on Israel. Again, notice that. Isn't that something?
I know.
So we're taking away their self-defense and giving their enemies billions. And we're building them a dock off of Gaza to bring supplies in. We are fighting for the enemy and against God. It goes on. This is the Iranian-backed militias attack U.S. troops elsewhere in the region. This could happen from this. And as the Iranian-backed Houthis are continuing to attack on international shipping, we're giving them $10 billion. Look, this is like over the top. And I just want to say this. You know what just popped in my mind as I was reading this? Our leaders right now of our nation are no different than Pilate when Jesus was standing before him. They are trying to say, we're trying to be everybody's friend. We wash our hands of anything that's wrong. But they're listening to the crowd that's going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They're saying, about Israel. They're saying, crucify them, crucify them, crucify them. And he's going, why do you want to crucify Israel? We've always stood with them. Crucify them, crucify them. Well, I'm washing my hands of it. You guys take care of it, whatever. But he's allowing it to happen, and now he's supporting it. And I say he. It's not just him. There are others that are supporting this. It is no different than Pilate giving into political pressure to let Jesus be beaten. And no, I'm not calling the nation of Israel Jesus. And no, I'm not calling the Jews Jesus. I'm simply saying that as God stood with Jesus at that moment, as he was the Messiah of the world coming to die for our sins, God is standing with the nation of Israel. And if we, even for those who oppose Jesus in that day, if we're opposing the nation of Israel, we're opposing God. That's exactly what the scripture teaches.
Yeah. That is Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. This is our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville, a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 302, available to subscribe and listen through wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, our question this week comes from Noelia. Noelia?
Yeah.
I don't know. I apologize in advance for how many ways I butchered your name, but it's Noel and then I-A, so...
Right. It looks like Noelia.
Noelia or Noelia?
It could be Nolia. Well, either way. We love you, and sorry we can't say your name right.
That's right.
It's a beautiful name. Maybe you can write back and tell us how to say it. That would be great.
Her question is about heaven and the new earth. She says, I was wondering what some things will be like in heaven and the new earth. Number one, what will relationships with other people be like? I know that we will recognize other people that we know in heaven, but will we have special friendships like we had on earth, or will we have special friendships with everyone? Interesting point. Number two, will people invent things and come up with new ideas in heaven? When God made the earth, did he originally intend for people to come up with their own ideas? And number three, will we still have our individual personalities in heaven? I know that there is no more sin, but will we still be ourselves without the sinful part of our personalities?
Well, great questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I work down the list here as I look at it so I don't leave anything out because these are really good. I'll tell you what we do know. We don't have a lot of answers on some of these things, but we know what we do know. I'll kind of share with you what we believe the scripture or what the scripture shows us. And I also want to, before we even jump into it, differentiate between the 1,000-year reign and the new heaven and new earth. You mentioned here the heaven and the new earth, so I'm assuming you mean after the 1,000-year reign. But I want to go ahead and talk about the 1,000-year reign and the new heaven and the new earth. And really, in the new heaven and new earth, we don't have a lot of details. He says he'll destroy this current earth, and then there'll be the new heaven and the new earth. And we don't get a lot of other details about it, quite honestly. But we do have some details about the 1,000 years. When Jesus comes back in the second coming, he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And we do have quite a bit of information about that. So let me just start here at the beginning. What will relationships with other people be like? You're right. We will recognize everyone. The Bible says we will know as we're known. It'll be instant. And again, will we have special relationships? I know this. We're going to love everybody. Everybody's going to know everybody and love everybody. That much I know, because we're now going to be one perfect in Christ. But will there be special relationships? I think that's possible. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us. So this is speculation. The Bible simply doesn't tell us. But I don't think that's necessarily impossible. There may be people that we hang out with more and do things, and then we all come together on the feast days and the other things. That's a possibility, although we just don't know. Honestly, the Bible doesn't reveal that. It is interesting, your question here, where you say, will people invent things in heaven? Now, in the new heaven and new earth, probably not. By then, we're in this brand new place. The Lord is the creator of all things. I can't speak to that really for sure, but I'm thinking this, you know, he's the one that's going to be the creative, and everything's going to be so known by him. I don't know if there's anything we could come up with, because it'll all be known. During the millennial kingdom, there may be a possibility for creativity. You look at it, the Bible says we're made in the image of God, and he is the creator. So that means if we're made in his image, we are creative. That's why we're creative here on earth, because we're made in his image. Now, we don't create anything new that he doesn't know about. It may be new to man. It may be new to us, but we don't make something that God goes, wow, I didn't think of that. That didn't happen. God knows all things, and God gives us an ability to be creative because we're made in his image.
Yeah.
So I don't see, I mean, that's a possibility in the millennial kingdom, that we could still be creative, but it certainly wouldn't be something that God doesn't already have in place or that we don't know about, et cetera, whatever. So there could be some levity for some room there. And again, as far as the personalities, you will still have your individual personality in heaven. Yes, absolutely. The Bible, even as the Holy Spirit, there's individual personalities to the parts of the Trinity, although they're one. We will still have our individual personality. We will be who we are, but we'll just be perfect. We will be purified. There'll be no sin. There'll be no, you know, I oftentimes say nothing will be weird. It's just going to be love and no weirdness. Nobody's going to feel weird. It's not going to be awkward. So it's just going to be always love and good, which I can't wait for.
Yeah.
And so, but you still have your personality. I believe that we're going to carry on. I don't know what our personalities perfected will be, but I do believe there's going to be an individualism for each of us, although we will be one. And yes, we'll be without the sinful part of our personality. So I think I touched on every part of the question there. Yeah. So just to reiterate, I speculated some. I want to be clear on that. The Bible doesn't give us some of the details of what you asked. It's just not in the Bible. But again, we do know that there's going to be 1,000 years here in new bodies on this earth. We do know we're made in God's image. So we are creative now. Maybe we'll be somewhat creative then. But God knows all things. We certainly won't be sinful. And a lot of it is going to be learning it there. It's just going to be a new, fun experience.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that I think about that God tells us is that eye has not seen nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him.
That's right.
So
that's right.
What we're going to experience in heaven, basically, we can't even conjure up in our minds on this side what it's going to be like. That's how mind-blowing this whole experience for all of eternity is going to be. So I guarantee you that whatever God has planned for us will pale in comparison to anything that we might be desiring heaven will be like here.
And suddenly, Greg, we could be there any minute.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you're not going to be doing the show.
Yep.
Also, we're looking at each other and going, you got to be kidding me.
Is there something you need to tell
you
me?
I don't know. Okay.
I'm just teasing.
No, but think about it. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's just like that quick.
That quick.
And there we are.
Yeah. Amen.
Any minute.
Hey, great questions. If you've got a question for Pastor Mark, just visit thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app. Click on Signs of the Times and follow the instructions. All right, as we look at the ever-growing, prophetically true anti-Semitism sweeping the globe, we come to Fox News dated March 9th to learn that anti-Semitic incidents across Europe, Canada, have hit record levels 5 months after the Hamas massacre of Israelis. So here's what's disturbing is if these people really, truly understand, if they know consciously, and they've been informed through media reports what actually happened over there, what does it say about their own hearts when they continue after the hatred that was displayed on October 7th?
Greg, that's a great observation. It doesn't seem to matter.
Wow.
What it shows is my mind's made up regardless. There's no amount of evil that could take place that would cause me to change my mind on where I stand on the issue.
Are those people like Pharaoh at this point, do you think?
I think so. I mean, many of them, not all of them. I think those that are making that kind of stand, many of them are, but I think some of them are just deceived. For example, these kids who don't even know what the river to the sea means.
They're repeating in ignorance.
They can be won. You can show them the truth. But those that have seen this and know it, there's just hatred there. There's a hate. And they've made up their mind. Anytime you see someone, I saw another one today that has seen the video, the 45-minute video that Hamas took as they were brutalizing the Jews when they came in, those people say, my life will never be the same. Never be the same. I saw another reporter today. He saw it. He said, my life will never be the same. It's that dramatic. It changed his life. It was a pivotal life-changing event for him watching that because it was so horrendous.
It would almost be as if the atrocities of World War II were on Facebook.
Exactly. Can you imagine if you could see it in modern camera ability, clarity, you could hear it? That's what happened. So, you know, we have one of these articles what almost every week,
yeah,
it seems like.
I know.
But the reason they keep being on here is because it keeps getting exponentially worse, which again, Zechariah and Matthew 24 says that it will. Everyone's going to turn more and more against the Jews, and the entire world is going to turn against the Jews until finally they have no one to turn to but God. And they're going to think, this is it. We're wiped out. We're cornered. Here comes Russia and Iran on our northern border. America's not there to help us. Everyone has abandoned us. They're all hating us. And God's going to step in supernaturally and rescue the nation. And that's where they're going to see Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And they're going to turn to him. Let me read some of the article. Since the Hamas terror massacre of Israeli Jews October 7th, the U.S. has been hit with record levels of anti-Semitic events. While authorities are, it was already bad. And now we have record levels. While authorities are getting to grips with how to effectively deal with it, Western democracies are also dealing with an explosion of anti-Semitism not witnessed since the Holocaust. Across the Atlantic, the United Kingdom has been rocked by unprecedented anti-Semitism. Former British Home Secretary Suella Braverman derided the mass protests as hate marches, and they are, and wanted to ban the mass anti-Semitic spectacles. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak fired the outspoken Braverman after her calls for a need to rein this all in. Greg, here's another thing. I read another article that I don't think we have here that was talking about basically for the Jews, it's really uninhabitable now safety-wise in the UK. You need to get out of there because
wow.
It is turning so aggressive. At any moment, they could be harmed. And it's almost like that same feel before World War II, you know. But again, remember, while it's horrible, God also says he's going to turn up the heat. God's going to, again, bring them back to the land. And I think that part of that is pushing back those who are kind of reluctant. A lot of Jews have already gone back to their homeland, but there are some, just like when Babylon, when they returned from Babylon, there were most stayed behind because they had good jobs, good homes. They'd been there 70 years. They didn't want to, you know, replant somewhere else, even though they could go back to their homeland.
Yeah.
And think about it. Those that are in the UK and other parts of the world, they've got good jobs. They've got money. They've got, you know, family. They're ensconced in the community, their home. And to suddenly just, I mean, think about us right now. If we suddenly had to go say, I got to sell everything and move to another country, that's a hard thing.
That's a lot.
That's a hard thing. But God's going to, I think, force it. I think God's going to allow the heat to continue to turn up on them until finally they say, we have no choice but to go somewhere where we have friends. Because even in America now, the leadership, the current leadership, and some in America have turned on them. Most of America still stands with the Jews and Israel. I believe that. And I think a new administration could get in that would stand with Israel after this one. But we used to never have any administration that stood against Israel. So
yeah,
the fact there's even one doing that now is a concern.
Pastor Mark, how do you counsel the Christian to reconcile these things in their heart? Because on one hand, we hate to see the anti-Semitism. We hate to see the hatred in any form.
Yeah.
Against the Jew. Yet at the same time, we recognize that it is this very hatred that God is allowing in order to fulfill a larger prophetic purpose. So how do we reconcile that in our hearts as Christians when part of us is hating that, but yet is our hatred somehow kicking against the goads of God's desires here? How do we reconcile that in our hearts?
That's a great point. There is a proverb, I think it's a proverb, you know, that says that it's not God's desire to ever bring chastisement, but if he has to, if that's the only way we'll respond, I'm putting in my own words.
Sure.
If it's the only way to get our attention, he'll do it. And so with the nation of Israel, God loves them so much, he's going to do whatever it takes to get their attention and to turn their eyes toward Jesus as their Messiah. And part of that in the last days is bringing them back in the land. So when you've got a group of people that as a whole has rejected the Messiah, God would rather just tell them. And they're, oh, okay, we all receive him, and then it's done. It's easy, and they're all in the kingdom, and we just kind of work toward the rapture of the church. That's not reality. So reality is God has to do whatever is necessary to get them where they need to be. Think of it like a child that's not obeying their father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can hope they're going to come to the right conclusion and try to nice them into it. It doesn't work. You have to bring discipline in and put boundaries up for them. And hopefully by the discipline and the boundaries, they'll be broken, and they'll do what the father asked them to do. That's what's happening with the nation of Israel. So the way to kind of reconcile that is, if God could do it an easier way, he would. But the reality is he's got to do it a tougher way and make beauty from ashes. So there's going to be some ashes, but the end goal is beauty. It reminds me of Jesus in the garden when he prayed and said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. That is, let this cup of suffering and crucifixion pass away from me. Don't make me drink it. Let me not go through that if I don't have to. If there's any other way that mankind can be saved. Now, in other words, if you can do it through Buddha, or Islam, or Mormonism, or Jehovah's Witness, or you know, in any other Hinduism, any other religious system, if any of them will get mankind to God, use that instead. And the Father very clearly said, no, there's none other, because we know Jesus went to the cross. So his answer was, this is it. You've got to do it. Now, I'd rather it not be this way. If man hadn't sinned, we wouldn't have to do this. But this is now the only way. Now we have to make ashes to get beauty from it. And so with the Jews rejecting the Messiah, now God has no choice but to make ashes to get beauty out of it, but it isn't his heart's desire. So he loves them enough to do that. He could just let them go. He could let you and I go.
Mm-hmm.
But he loved us enough to do that. And so I think the way we reconcile it is it's the only way. There's no other. This cup has to be, they have to drink this cup.
Yeah.
There's no other way to get there. But then God's going to be faithful in the end.
Yeah. We look forward to the end when all things are made right.
Absolutely.
All right, speaking of things that are wrong, how about some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption? This week's story comes from MSN.com, dated March 10th. Brazil's staggering dengue fever crisis is a warning to the world.
It is, and I'm going to read this and then talk a little bit about something that relates to this.
Okay.
This says, not since the darkest days of the COVID-19 pandemic, when hospital systems all over the country were under the weight of the disease, has Brazil witnessed such scenes? But this time, it's not the coronavirus that has led states all over the country to declare a state of emergency and even spurred the construction of a field hospital in the capital of Brasilia. It's dengue fever. And again, dengue fever is a fever you catch from mosquitoes. In the first 2 months of the year, Paraguay registered nearly 100,000 suspected cases. More than five times the typical rate. Think about that. Five times. So something's happening here. Peru, racked by its own outbreak, has declared an emergency in much of the country. Argentina, too, has seen an explosion of cases. The deepening public health crisis, epidemiologists say, serves as a warning to the world. The struggle against the disease has entered an unprecedented, perilous new phase. Dengue fever is creeping into places where it has never been. And where it has long been, case numbers are soaring to unseen heights. So what's going on? Well, first of all, Matthew 24 talks about the fact in the last days we're going to see plagues increase. So we can see that. But Greg, part of my fear here is mankind's messing with stuff and we're messing it up.
Mm.
Seems like Bill Gates has his hand in a little bit of everything worldwide. And what Bill Gates has been doing for the last few years, he's been taking mosquitoes that have been genetically modified and treated. Imagine that, and releasing them by the millions into different parts of the world. Believe it or not, they released millions of them down in Florida. And the idea was these mosquitoes will bite people and make them immune, almost like the mosquito gives the vaccination, and will make them immune to these things.
I don't believe it.
Well, the problem is the moment they're released now around the world, and I'd have to look and see real quick if he's released them there in Brazil. I know he has here in the States. I think it opens the door for more disease and more problems. Whenever we start messing with God's delicate balance of the way God does things, that's a freaky, freaky thing. And, you know, I had somebody here in the body the other day tell me that had dengue fever more than once. And I'm like, you're kidding
me.
I'm like, wow. So I think we're going to start seeing that in the States as well. I wouldn't be surprised if it links back to some of these massive releases of these genetically modified mosquitoes. And it's very open. You can Google that. You can find it online. This is not one of your conspiracy theory. No, you can find it. It's there.
Yeah.
But again, the idea behind it is they're not coming out and saying they're trying to do it to mess everything up. The idea is we're supposed to help by doing it and modifying the insects. Now, look, God has designed. So what their motive is, I'll leave that up to God. But here's the bottom line. God has given a very delicate design to everything on this planet. I mean, we have a delicate design to the insects. If you don't have the right number of bees carrying pollen, your trees, you're not going to get fruit.
Right.
You've got to have fruit from the bees carrying the pollen.
Right.
If you all these things you mess with, and now we're trying to mess because they're talking about climate change, right? They're trying to mess with the environment and change the temperature and all this kind of stuff. And they've got these things they're talking about releasing. And by the way, they have been releasing some in the atmosphere to try to block out the sun and do this, et cetera, et cetera. And they're doing all this experimentation. Look, God designed everything the way it is to keep us alive. Whenever all the fish start messing with the aquarium and saying, we're going to do the settings ourselves, but we don't even know what the settings mean or how to set them, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
We're all going to be on our side floating at the top of the water saying, what happened? You know, it must have been, you know, that new fish food that somebody put in. No, it's because we start messing with dials that we have no intellect to mess with. We need to leave it alone. And I wonder, Greg, I truly wonder. Look, I know during the Great Tribulation that God's going to pour out his wrath and it'll be God's judgments during that time. I get that. But I wonder how much of what we're doing he's simply going to use to advance that. In other words, when it talks about changes in cold and heat during the Great Tribulation, is it because we're messing with the environment, with the climate thing? When we're talking about, the famine, is it because we're messing with the way the bees are and the pollen? Is it also because we're messing with the environment? Look, if you do certain things to the environment, it's going to cause a lack of rain that can last for years in certain regions, and then you're going to have famine. So we're doing all these things. I wonder how much of it is going to be our fault. It's interesting. The Bible talks in Revelation 9 and 18 that there's going to be a real explosion of pharmakia. We've talked about that during the Great Tribulation and the last days. It's pharmaceuticals. This is where we get the word pharmaceuticals. Well, we've all seen, look, long prior to COVID, we saw the push for all these different medications, you know, and pain pills and this whole prescription drug problem.
Yes.
We saw the pharmakia rising. And again, it's a word that's also used in scripture of sorcery, which is tied to witchcraft. And there is something that ties drugs, prescribed and non, to the demonic realm. I don't fully understand it, but it's all through the scripture. And I've seen that in practical experience dealing with mankind, okay? So there's going to be an increase of demonism in the last days.
It lifts the veil.
I think so. There's going to be an increase of witchcraft. So yeah. I think it's going to come through. A lot of that's going to happen apart from pharmakia, but it's also going to come through pharmaceuticals. And then we see this whole push now for more and more pharmaceuticals. Now, we saw the big push for all the shots for COVID. Okay, wherever you stand on that, that's what happened. And now they're talking about, oh, we have a bunch of new shots we'll be introducing soon for cancer. They're going to be helping with all the cancer things and all that. You know, it's being pushed really hard.
Right.
You're going to be hearing more about that. Now, what's interesting about that is, Greg, we're putting a lot of these foreign substances in our body. 50 years ago, actually probably even 40 years ago, on the childhood vaccination schedule, there were probably about 5 shots. If you do the entire childhood vaccination schedule now, it's over 70 shots for your kids.
Wow.
Now, what that means is, you're putting 70 shots of different chemicals in your little guys. What do you think's going to happen? This is not about being some kind of anti-vax statement. I'm just talking about think for a second. When you're putting all these shots from these pharmaceuticals, and now with COVID, it introduced the ability without even testing. They didn't have. Listen, a lot of people don't realize this. The COVID shots are still not FDA approved. They're still not FDA approved. And we're what now, 4 years beyond? Because it takes, I forget how many years it takes to officially get the approval through.
Right.
So the point is, and I know they said they did it because they were afraid. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to go get a shot. But here's what happened. We crossed a line in our culture where we said, now we can go ahead and just take a chance and do this. And whatever happens, happens. And we don't even know yet for sure what the long-term effect is going to be. We know there's been some short-term effects that are coming out now. We don't know the long-term effects. Now they're trying to introduce more pharmakia. Here's my point. I know I went for a long time on that.
Yeah.
My point is this. When you fill all this new generation, Greg, with all these chemicals, what's that going to do in the long run to their bodies? When you go into Revelation and you read about the sores coming out on their bodies right. and in their mouth and they can't heal them and they don't go away, I know it's God. I know it's God's wrath. But I wonder how much man is contributing to the future of these kind of physical ailments during the Great Tribulation.
And we know that the Bible tells us that the world cannot deny that it's God's judgment. Because
exactly.
they're going to be shaking their fists at God and cursing
yes.
God for those that don't repent. However, what I kind of feel like what you've set up is kind of like, you know, Haman building the gallows, hoping to hang Mordecai on.
Yeah.
And then the gallows get turned on Haman and he gets hanged on his own gallows.
Yeah.
So is it kind of like the same thing where it's like man is building this gallows and God is going to now use it
wow.
to hang him on?
What a great analogy.
I mean, I just kind of, that's what
well,
I kind of pictured.
Not
there.
Only a great analogy, Greg, this is when it happened. We're at the time of Purim. It's next weekend. I mean, you used an example that's upon us. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. We are basically building our own gallows right now by trying to mess with God's environment. I mess with all this. Leave it alone. God, only God can watch his aquarium.
Yeah.
He's more than able to make sure that everything's taken care of. And yes, there may be some things that we do down here that are wrong, whatever, could affect this and that. But God is the one that controls it all. He keeps it all working. He knows how to filter it, how to clean it. And then God's going to come back and restore it in the second coming. And we start messing with our own fish tank, and we don't know what we're doing. We don't understand what he does, being much greater than a fish brain.
Right.
We're going to kill ourselves. And I'm concerned about this stuff we're releasing in the skies, in the environment, trying to block the sun. And they're already doing and talking about doing more of it. Again, Bill Gates involved in the middle of that. I'm concerned about all these things about for mankind. Now, I'm not concerned that God's in control because he is. God's in control. God's going to keep us where we need to be until he takes us out of here in the rapture, and he'll see us to the end. We trust in the Lord. But at the same time, when I see how foolish man is, I go, oh my goodness. That's why it says, if the Lord didn't intervene in the last days, no flesh would be saved. We're going to kill ourselves.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
We need some good news.
Well, here it is. Good.
This is from Newsmax.com, dated March 14th. Evangelical Christians, fierce supporters. Rush to volunteer in Israel.
I love it.
These are firefighters rushing into the fire.
I love it. And again, some of our people are wanting to do this. We're trying to link up with a group now, Greg, that goes in and helps them get their harvest in because all their workers left after October 7th. And they've got stuff that's just rotting on the vine, so to speak. So they're asking the Israeli people to come help. And now people are going over to help. And this
Yes.
And this is one of those groups. When Sean Landis, an evangelical Christian from Pennsylvania, heard about the October 7th Hamas attack on southern Israel, he knew he would come to Israel as a volunteer as soon as it was safe. 5 months later, he was chopping vegetables in a Tel Aviv kitchen, preparing meals for Israeli soldiers. Evangelicals have been among Israel's fiercest foreign supporters for years, particularly in the United States, where their significant political influence has helped shape the Israel policy of recent Republican administrations. And I quote, "In the scripture, it instructs us to support Israel, and sometimes the best time to support someone is when they're grieving," said Landis. I love that. Who has been on four previous faith-based trips to Israel. I wish I could do one of these. You know, as a senior pastor, it's hard to get away to do one of these, but I'd love to do it. Friendship is not just about being there for the good times. It's also about the rough times. Landis is part of a wave of religious volunteerism. Okay, volunteerism to Israel. Organized trips that include some kind of volunteering aspect connected to the war in Gaza.
Yeah.
Again, I get back to what happened. This is great news.
Yeah, it is.
And what happened was, again, remember, when they got attacked, a lot of their workers went home and left. So they're literally asking Israelis, the normal citizens of the country, remember, they're only the size of New Jersey. It's like a state trying to survive, to come and bring in the harvest out of their greenhouses, which they grow year-round, so the food doesn't all rot. And they've been doing that. But there are groups that are going over, helping them harvest the food, helping them just to minister to them. That is a great cause, guys, to do. We're trying to put something together here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. If we get it put together,
we'll announce it.
Yeah, I'll try to let our listeners know. And we're linking up with a group that's been doing it for like 30 years out of Nashville.
Wow.
So awesome. Haven't heard back from them. I've contacted them. But when we hear back, we'll try to let you know. We'd love to do something like that. A way that we can go and practically bless the nation of Israel. But again, remember, as we finish today, two things. Number one, remember this Tuesday. If you can come at 5:30 and support for the nation of Israel, that the city county building be there. And number two, if you're listening today and God is speaking to your heart about giving your life to Jesus Christ, you're recognizing for the first time that he has died for you on the cross. The Bible says he died for your sins on the cross, shed his blood. If you confess your sin and receive him as Lord, the Bible says you'll be born again and saved. And you know what? you're going to be with him forever in the kingdom of God, regardless of this nonsense that goes on down here when he comes for his bride. Receive the Lord. He's waiting to receive you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. Remember, normal isn't coming back, but Jesus is.
I love that.
That is our encouragement. So keep your hands on the plow. Share. Don't look back. Look forward. Look forward to next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss more signs of the times right here on WIAM. Have a great weekend.